Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. This is Steven Miranda.
And alongside him is Jeff Ellis for Thursday, March 25th, 2010.
Episode 6.02, the pre-draft show, NFL news show, and just everything else that's going on in the
that's
world.
That's an interesting name for
of the
show,
National
Steven.
Football League. It's pretty long.
Did you work on that name for very
did.
Long?
I did. Well, it took
I think
me,
it was once we started rolling that you actually started working on the name.
No, I knew it was a pre-draft show.
Yeah.
Cuz we'll talk a little bit about that. And it's an NFL news show cuz there's plenty of NFL news. I've got something stuck up my craw.
Oh, I know you do. I call it the Boxo Stuff Show.
Okay, Box O Stuff Show.
There's just a bunch of stuff we got to talk about.
And there's still some show news that we must discuss. And since the only time
you
and I
ambush me?
Ever talk.
I ambush you and it never goes well.
Since we ever and never talk
no, we don't.
Off the air, we'll have to just hash it out here.
Well, drama ensues.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
I'm on the edge of my seat, only I'm leaning back.
All right, well, first of all, we're going to start with Arena Football League is back, Jeffrey, and it's on NFL Network. It's called Arena Football Fridays.
Okay, I mean, I'd get excited if it was worth getting excited about.
Arena Football Fridays!
Does it start now? I might watch if it started now.
Kicks off Friday, April 2nd.
Well, that's not too far.
I'm telling you.
Give me the date again.
Friday, April 2nd.
That would be
8 p.m.
10
Eastern.
Days before the draft.
No, that's a lot of days before the draft. The draft isn't until the end of April.
The 22nd. Okay, so it's 20.
Friday,
it's
April 2nd. It's 20 days.
It's 20 days before the...
Yes.
That gives them... That's 3 weeks, in other words... It gives them 3 weeks to promote the bejesus out of the draft.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is what it's all about.
Prime time draft, Thursday night.
They know you put on football on Friday night, and that gives you this promotional platform to promote the bejesus out
Arena
of the draft.
Arena Football League is back.
No, I'm excited. Are the LA Avengers back?
I do not know yet.
Was that the team?
It was the LA Avengers.
Yes!
Good job, John.
Yeah, what a pull.
Well,
saw them at least three times. Are they going to be back at Staples?
Yes.
And does that mean we get the sweet
stuff? Sweet,
still?
Baby!
Yeah! Well, then you know what? I'm psyched.
Avengers!
Sweet at Staples Center. Sweet at Staples Center at midfield.
Yeah, but most likely this time it will not include food.
I don't care.
All right.
A sweet at Staples Center
yeah,
midfield.
It is awesome.
I don't... Dude, we could see guys figure skating, and I'd be cool because I'm in a suite at Staples Center.
Trisha actually took Elena to see like Disney on Ice.
Don't care. Well, I probably wouldn't want to go that low.
Really?
But, you know, again, I want to say the joke again because it's worth saying. You know why they call them sweets?
Why?
Because you walk in and you go, sweet!
Sweet. It is sweet.
And see, here's the deal, just for the folks listening who don't know. Uh-huh. Trisha, my sister, Steven's wife. Is part of a law firm that shares a suite with another law firm, and it gets snatched up by all the partners and everything like that who have business to do. But for
usually
the extremely
for Laker games, Clipper games,
Kings games,
and huge concert
and
events,
Miley Cyrus, well, pretty much anything, even the Harlem Globetrotters. Come on, anything.
I think there were some tickets available for the Harlem.
I wanted to go.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, here. Anyway, generally, any event any normal human would want to see, they get snapped up.
Yes,
yes, like
it's
that.
Usually for the senior partners.
It's for the partners,
and
that's what it should be for.
And,
and then again, they share it with another firm. So even though they're one of the largest law firms in the world, they still share it with another firm, which I question that.
Saving money.
It's all about the big bucks.
It's called saving money.
Money. Yes. I'm not going to make a racial joke.
You know how much that suite costs? For a year.
Do you know how much Trisha's firm makes a year?
Just let me tell you how much it costs for a year, first of all.
For half or for the full?
For the full amount.
Where it is, which is mid-court.
Where it is, with no tickets.
Sure, you pay for your own tickets.
This for the suite.
The right to have the suite.
Yes.
I'm going to guess it's somewhere around 100 grand.
Keep going.
Two.
Keep going.
Three.
Keep going.
Okay, at three, it better include parking.
Keep going.
450.
Yes.
$500,000 before the 16 seats that you have to purchase for each event.
Yes. There you go.
And parking, which parking's really nice for Staples Center. You tend to huff it a lot.
I think the parking comes with the suite.
For God's sakes. And then you have to cater each event yourself.
Yes.
You sign up. You say, I want beer. I want soda. I want a snack tray.
Yeah,
I want nachos. Yes. Those are $20. And, yes. And oh no, it's not nachos. I want chips and salsa.
It's the life.
That's $20.
Watching stuff on the suite. Look, I always used to think, man, those people in the suite, they don't know what they're missing. No.
The people
down
in the regular seats, you have no idea. I've been
missing.
In suites for...
Unless you're probably courtside.
Now, here's the...
That is probably a different experience.
But let me tell you.
You're not courtside, you don't know what you're missing.
When I worked for Disney, I was frequently a guest of Canon USA.
Yes.
And they had a seat, they had a suite at one end of Staples Center.
Okay.
Which for hockey is fantastic.
Yes.
For basketball is awful.
Horrible.
Awful.
Yes.
Awful. Clippers, Lakers, doesn't matter. Just awful. Because you are, I don't know, a good 3 or 4 miles from one of the baskets, from the nearest basket.
This particular suite?
For
right
hockey,
smack
it's great.
Dab
no,
in the
center
middle.
Ice, dude. Yeah. It's awesome. For I went to Kings game. Did I tell
you? You know who owns the suite right next door?
No.
Tom Hanks.
Why don't we? Oh, we don't know Tom
yeah,
Hanks.
Yeah, we don't.
Knew there was a reason.
Anyway, so I wanted to throw that out there that NFL Network will be showing Arena Football League. You know, hey, it's also a place for them to go look at players. Well, Kurt Warner. There you go. Jeremy Urban.
I got there before you.
You did. I was struggling with, I wanted to call him Jermaine Urban, but I knew that was
Jeremy
wrong.
Jeremy Urban.
We just saw Michael Jackson's This Is It, so. Yeah, so
I thought you saw it in the theater. So what,
you did
it on pay-per-view?
I bought the DVD.
Oh, you bought the DVD.
And Elena's been wanting to watch it. She's a big fan of Thriller and stuff.
You know, you make me feel so good inside.
You do.
All that movie showed is at age 50, the dude still had it, man.
Feel like...
Woo! I mean, he still had the moves. He still had the
voice.
But
did you see this time? Because you didn't see in the theaters what I saw.
I saw what you were talking about. It.
I was geeking on. He was
in rehearsal playing around with the girl.
No. He was picking stars
out
of the sky.
He was not picking stars out of the sky.
He was on acid. And I'm kidding about the acid thing. But he was trying to get into the persona and the character that he wanted to do for the song.
Yes.
And he's like grabbing stars from the sky very subtly. And Steven, you don't get it. You don't get it.
No, you don't get it. He was doing it with the song.
L-O-V-E. It's about love. Okay? Okay,
you
don't get it.
You are not showing me any love right now. But anyways, speaking of love, it's your turn to get some love.
Oh,
we are here, episode 2 of season 6.
I will stop completely.
And I've got no studio in my house yet. I had to come to your house again.
Again.
What's the deal?
And there's contractors in my house banging down walls.
What's the deal?
I've got contractors banging down walls in my house. I've been busy. I'm a single parent home right now.
Okay.
The wife is up at her mom's, helping her after surgery.
Yes, and she's a little upset that you allowed your daughter, who's 13, by the way, to get married.
Yeah, Kara got married on Facebook.
How did that happen?
Well, I can't believe you're asking me this on the show. My daughter will be 13 in October.
I love Dee Dee's response.
I haven't been on Facebook.
I'm gone for 2 days, and this is what happens? She's like, well, I wish you the best, Kara. I was cracking up last night, dying. I'm working last night till about 9:30.
Oh, my God.
And as I'm working, I'm seeing these Facebook posts pop in, and I am cracking up. So I decide to join, and I'm like, what? Who is it? I'm going to go beat him up. You tell your husband I'm going to go beat him up.
All right.
And then Dee responds like, I'm gone for 2 days.
Okay. Well, first of all, she posts like she's a mad dog poster. So I don't see the thread.
Gosh.
Lover of the day. Kara discovered that the lover of the day, and the result was David McKelly. Which isn't even who she's married to, by the way.
No, she's married to some imaginary
dude
Bob
Henderson.
Bob Henderson. Who the heck is Bob Henderson?
Now, that's the beauty of... I like it because Bob Henderson, I still don't see Kara. I don't see the thread.
Did
I'm
the
on
thread
her.
Come down?
I don't know. I'm on Kara's page now. But, you know, she get. Oh, here we go. View all seven comments. Got it. Okay. So Kara went from being single to married.
Yes.
And Trisha posted, really, who's the lucky guy with a smiley? And Steven says, what? Don't make me come hurt someone. And Kara says, LOL, haha. Kara posts later, IDK, I'm bored. I got nothing better to do. Well, this is yesterday at 9:30.
Yes, I'm telling you. I'm working still.
Well, I'm telling you that I left the poor child alone all day because of Jordan's baseball game.
So she got
game.
Bored.
She got
girl
bored.
Girl got bored and decided to get married.
Girl gone wild.
Nice.
And
then read Dee Dee's comment.
I got bored. I got nothing better to do. I'm going to keep it that way for a while. Kara then writes, Trisha, feel free to hurt my imaginary husband, Bob Henderson. night. And then she goes to bed. I made her go to bed at 9:30 when I got done working. Dee Dee, unbelievable. I leave for a few days and look at what happens. Well, I wish you all the best. That's a good one.
It was.
Bob Henderson, since Kara has been a young child, she has enjoyed writing fictitious stories. And every fictitious story she's ever written has featured Bob Henderson. And it is came completely out of her imagination. Probably Bob the Builder, just knowing when this all started, had something to do with it. And I don't know where the last name Henderson came from. But every story features Bob Henderson.
I have read many of her stories.
Yeah, and they always have Bob Henderson.
Bob Henderson is...
So she's gone ahead and married him.
That name.
She's gone ahead and married him. And good luck to them. I mean, an imaginary friend, I guess, what's the worst thing that could happen?
So I just want to... Real quickly, before we get to the meat of
the
show
real news,
NFL.
Since we do literally have to have a short show.
Yes, we do. I posted last night, working way too hard, need a break. Anyone got suggestions? And here's what I got. Trisha says, come watch Modern Family with me. When I got off, we did go watch that. And
good.
It was hilarious.
Freaking
dude.
Hilarious.
Hulu it. Hulu.com, that episode. I don't understand.
I'd like to start from the beginning.
I don't understand how a 22-minute show can have that many...
big laughs.
Huge roll-on-the-floor laughter.
Yeah, instead of Modern Family, it should be called Big Laughs.
It should be.
From what I hear, I haven't
Jessica,
seen.
Also known as Winnie Cooper, said, Vegas, baby!
No.
We're just there.
Winnie? No. No.
Buddy of mine from college,
Vegas, not
Chris
our friend.
DeMarco, independent wealth? Yeah, thanks, Chris. Thanks, Mr. DeMarco. I appreciate it.
Is he independently wealthy?
No, he isn't.
All right.
But I was sort of going to tell me, maybe he could tell me how to get
well, remember,
wealthy.
Steve Martin had his two steps to becoming a millionaire.
Millionaire.
Step number one.
Get $1 million.
Find $1 million.
There
all
you
right,
go.
Go on.
A buddy of mine from high school, Michael, said Cruise. And then Richard Smith.
Oh, Rich.
You know Richard Smith.
He was listener of the year.
He was listener
of
the year.
He still hasn't sent in his soundbite acceptance speech.
Hello, where's the acceptance speech?
I know you were in Lausanne, Switzerland for an event.
Yes,
for
and,
Sky.
It, and it got quite hairy from my understanding.
Oh, my gosh, it did. Yeah, one of his talents, something bad happened to one of his talents.
Did he get bit by a spider or something?
He ended up in hospital.
Right, he was in the hospital.
In hospital.
No, yes, in hospital.
It's English, come on.
He was in hospital for...
it was
overnight,
awful.
Right?
And then he, of course, hit his deadline and got all of his interviews and everything like that.
Amazing. But he says, move to Alaska and hunt for your own dinner.
Nice. Well, you know, Rich being
thanks,
the epicurean
Rich.
That he is, Rich is quite the exotic cook.
I'm not hunting for my own dinner, first
I might.
Of all.
I got a shotgun.
No. If I kill it, I'm not eating it.
Well, then you don't kill it, because you don't kill it if you're not going to eat
it. There you go.
That's all I got to say.
All right, Jeffrey, lots of NFL news, owners meetings, and new rule changes, and what's going on with overtime? All of that coming up in NFL news.
New owner overtime rules for the playoffs.
I'm gonna take a brief moment.
Yeah.
To
take a brief moment.
So why don't you talk right now? Because I need
to gather yourself. Perhaps
yes,
Okay.
I need a moment.
So the NFL has come up with a really exciting idea to change the overtime situation. only for the playoffs, just for the playoffs. And they think it's really unfair that a flip of a coin could result in one team only having to go, say, 30 yards, and then you get a Sebastian Janikowski kind of kicker to kick a 65-yarder, boom, game over. And they're like, that's not the way a playoff game should end. A playoff game should end with a touchdown. With it, and if it doesn't end by a touchdown, certainly both teams should have a chance to touch the ball. Come on. It's the playoffs. How'd I do, Steven? I built the case.
All right.
Now, the facts.
So you want to give me the facts of what the rule is?
Sure.
Give me the rule.
The rule is this, very simply.
I want to hear the rule.
Well, I'm not going to read you the rule because I don't know where it is.
Read the rule!
No, I don't have it, so I can't read it. It kind of makes it tricky that way. But
why do I give you access to NFLmedia.com? Everything's there. Everything they do.
You know how often I go to NFLmedia.com?
Never.
Pretty much. I'd like to. It just never crosses my mind.
Well, okay. I'm going to shut up now.
Well, no, so I know the essence of the rule. I don't have to.
I don't want the essence. I want the rule.
Well, then read it yourself from NFLmedia.com. I know you want to spend all your time ranting on the rule, and so you want to give equal time, which means
I set it up. Set it up. Read me the rule. Give me the essence of the rule.
Okay, here's the essence of the rule. The team who wins the coin toss gets possession, and as Matt Hasselbeck says, and we're going to score. I love that.
Now he has to say, and we're going to score a TD.
Yeah, he does. So here's
can't
the,
just say,
you
and
asked
we're going to
score. Tee it up.
Tee it up, man.
Because you've got the rant all set up, tee it up. So the team that wins the coin toss cannot just go march. Let's say that you run the ball back pretty far. You go 15 yards, and you've got a kicker with a great leg, and boom, he boots a 57-yarder. Game over. You're out of the playoffs. Congratulations. Thanks for coming to the party. Now, if you do that, the other team gets an opportunity to also possess the football. So what it is encouraging, and I like this about it a lot, it's encouraging the team that wins the coin toss to actually not settle for a field goal, because then you put it on the other team to match you or possibly win. So it encourages you. You wanted the essence of the rule. Put your hand down, Steven, right now. I'm serious. Dang. So it encourages you to actually go for a touchdown instead of settling for a field goal, which, as we all know, settling for a field goal is no given proposition anyways, and a touchdown's a more authentic and more precise way to win a game anyways, because you don't want to put on the leg of the kicker. My only rant out of all this, and it won't steal any thunder from ears, Steven, the guy who is chairing the rules committee right now, because it used to be, whoever it used to be isn't doing it anymore. The guy who chairs the rules committee says, basically because kickers have become so good. Did you know that he said that? Because that's not part of your rant. Because this is my only rant.
No.
Is kickers have not become so good. The long kicker has become something that has shown up of recent. Somebody who can kick ridiculously long field goals, a 60-plus yarder. That is new to the league. And that has changed things, and I like that fact. Now, saying that kickers have gotten so much better would be a massive inaccuracy, because we're coming off the worst season of kicking that anyone can remember, where there's more missed extra points than anyone can remember in recent memory. That is the essence of the rule. Now, if the team takes the opening kickoff, runs it back for a touchdown, game over, because you possessed it, you scored a touchdown. Make sense? And so that is the essence of the rule, is to make sure that a field goal does not win the game simply by the first team to touch the ball. Now, Steven, that's the essence of the rule. Your thoughts and opinions are greatly appreciated.
Yes.
Where to begin?
All right. The rule as it existed up until yesterday when this rule was changed.
Was it just been 24 hours?
Maybe 48 hours.
I think it's been 48 hours, because it feels like I've had that much time to think about
this. The rule was established in 1974. As it stood, sudden death, overtime. And what a lot of people don't really understand is there is an essence, and I understand this because I've been a big proponent of, you don't want two rules, one for the playoffs, one for postseason. In essence, there is a
second set of rules for the playoffs.
A second set of rules, because in the regular season, you play one 15-minute period, and if it's still tied, it stays tied.
And as Donovan McNabb knows, or I mean he doesn't know.
He knows now.
He now knows. Well, Unless he's forgotten.
First of all, someone alert him of the new change right now. So I don't want 5 years from now in a playoff game, Donovan McNabb coming to me and telling me.
Now you're changing the rules on me again?
We scored a field goal. Why didn't we win? Dude, they changed the rules 5 years ago.
Look, it took me my first 11 years in the league to learn the first rule, and now you're changing it again.
Anyways, I will make it my personal job, my personal task.
As soon as the rabies get emailed out.
Yes. To inform Donovan of this new overtime rule change. But here's the deal. Regular season, you play football, you go to overtime, it's tied 28-28, and the game goes into overtime, and here you go.
And you put how much time on the clock? 10 minutes on the clock?
15 minutes on the clock.
Full 15 on the clock.
Full 15 minutes on the clock. And I get the ball. I march 40 yards.
You have a coin toss first.
Yes, we have the coin toss, and I get the ball first.
And by the way, both teams are present for the coin toss.
Yes.
I'm just saying.
Yes, they are. That is all. And so I march 45 yards down the field. I kick field goal. I win.
Congratulations.
Week 10. Thank you very much. I get a win. Now here we are 8 weeks later, and it's wild card weekend. We go to overtime again.
Say a guy named Brett Favre's involved.
There you go.
I'm calling this the new Favre rule.
And it's tied 28-28. Okay. And I win the coin toss again. I'm just lucky that
way. You're a lucky guy. Well, tails never fails. And you
never fails.
And you would never call anything else.
Never call heads. Tails never fails. And so I get the ball again. I march those same 45. As a matter of fact, I run the exact same script I ran 8 weeks ago when I was in the same situation. And we get the same 45 yards. And you know what? I kick a field goal. I start jumping up and down. I won.
No, you didn't.
I won 8 weeks ago.
It's time to kick it off.
What do you mean? What happened?
It's time to kick it off. We're in the playoffs.
I just won.
It's time to kick it off.
But 8 weeks ago, I won.
Yeah, that was then. This is now.
As we've
always known, there's two sets of rules. A different one for the playoffs because you can't have a playoff game in a tie. And
it's not tie anymore. I just took the lead 31-28. Game over. Sudden death.
The fans hate this.
And you're changing and you're caving and you're cowing down to the fans?
I thought it was the fans' game.
The fans?
I thought the game was, the NFL was protecting this beautiful, treasured, precious that is the fans'
my
NFL.
My precious. My precious? No, it's not precious.
Master wouldn't do that to us.
The precious, look. I'm all for the NFL changing rules. They do it every year. They have these things, and I'm good with that.
We got a lot more.
But I don't want you to change a rule simply because fans say, mostly fans, because trust me, there were a lot of coaches that did not like this rule change, and I'll get to that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But because fans went, it's not fair. It's not fair that Brett Favre doesn't get the ball in overtime and try to, you know, match the field goal or maybe even go in for a touchdown. That's not fair. New Orleans got the ball. They marched away. Well, how many yards did they get in that last drive? 38 yards.
And then
Garrett Hartley boots a field goal.
And
they win and they get to go to the Super Bowl. And what about Brett Favre?
Yeah, Brett didn't
even
get a turn.
To touch the ball in overtime.
Not that he was alive.
How is that fair?
Not that he could walk.
It's irrelevant. How is it not fair?
Well, you know what's...
Well, I want to know. It's not fair. Make it fair. Make it fair. And so what the competition committee has gone is like, you know what?
They got a point.
It's not fair. Let's make it fair. You know what? You know what? This isn't T-ball. This isn't Little League Baseball where everybody gets up the bat, okay? You don't. You get this is the National Football League. This is professional sports. It isn't fair. Okay, now I've got some questions for you, Jeffrey. What happens when I get the ball first, they kick off to me, I drive down the field, I throw an interception, the other team then marches down the field and kicks a field goal. Do I get the ball back?
You had a possession.
I didn't kick a field goal.
You had a possession.
I didn't get a chance to kick my field goal. That's not fair.
You had a possession. You blew your possession. You gave it to the other team. They possessed it. They scored. Game over.
That not what the rule says.
Both teams possess the ball.
The rule says that if they kick a field goal, I get a chance to kick a field goal too.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the rule says?
Well, you know.
What's the rule say?
What does the rule say? I don't know. I'm on the media website, and I forgot my login.
Both teams must have the opportunity to possess the ball once during the extra period unless the team that receives the opening kickoff scores a touchdown on this initial possession, in which case it is the winner. I didn't score a touchdown in my initial possession, and the other team only scored a field goal. I get a chance to score a field goal now, right?
Okay. Have you had your
what say? If there's a safety?
Well, then that's very simple. The other team scored.
Okay.
The other team scored.
So that's game over?
That's game over.
But that's not a field goal.
It's not about field goals.
It's not a touchdown.
It's not about field goals or touchdowns. It's about both teams having a chance.
Opening kickoff scores a touchdown on its initial possession. It's not a touchdown. So they should kick off?
The intent of the rule, which let's just call it healthcare redo. The healthcare bill was signed and it's not finished.
Is why so you got a little work to do. Are you making it so convoluted? Why?
Because that's what the fans want.
I don't want it. I'm one of the biggest fans of the league.
That's what most of the fans
Thank
want.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
And
I guess apparently it's a democracy here in the United States.
Well, not anymore. I mean, it's sorry. I'm trying hard to hold my tongue.
Hold your tongue.
Holding
Don't
my
get
tongue.
Into politics.
Tongue held. So yeah, Stephen, I've heard a couple people like this. I've heard a couple people support it publicly. And you know, what I don't like is that it truly, truly will change the strategy.
Well, you know what coaches
are
saying?
Play.
It's not fair. We didn't get a vote in the matter.
No, they didn't get a vote. They weren't in the room for the coin toss. But it is not the...
Some say that they feel duped.
It's not the coach's place to say, Stephen. It's the coach's place to coach. They aren't the king of the universe. The king of the universe is the owners. The owners are responsible to the fans, and the fans are responsible to watch the games or not watch the games. Okay, but the owners are there to increase the revenue and the influence of the National Football League. That is the owner's job, and to protect their franchise and to grow it and make it as successful as possible.
My problem is that
shut up.
No, because look, Jeffrey, there is a way that you coach if you're in overtime.
Correct.
And now
it's all changed.
So now I've got to coach for one set of overtime rules.
Yes.
And for another set of overtime
rules.
You
have to actually work harder. Okay.
It's not like they don't work 60-hour weeks already, Jeffrey.
I think it's more. But yeah, the point's well taken. They work really hard.
So, the coach
owners who have approved this,
their coaches
should go and give their coach another assistant coach that can come up with this absurd philosophy. As we come close to the playoffs, get him the guy from Caltech, Professor Playoffs.
He can
go crunch all the scenarios, and he can work with a team and say, here's basically your probability of this and this and this.
You win the coin toss. It's overtime. Do you kick off first?
Absolutely. I know. You receive the ball, Stephen.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you? What if your offense has been struggling and hasn't done jack? Are you going to risk punting the ball to the other team and giving them a short field?
Well, let's say you're the...
What if you can't even have a field goal kicker? What if your field goal kicker gets injured in the first quarter of that playoff game and you can't kick field goals?
Then you might want to...
You know what, Jeffrey? Why not just eliminate punting and field goals and get rid of special teams altogether?
Why don't we... That's one third of the game.
Who cares? Who cares? Get rid of punting. You know what? If you get rid of punting, that changes the whole complexity of... Overtime.
Well, then
you can't punt.
Then
it's fourth and two, and you're on your own 38-yard line. You got
to
go for it, man. So now what are you going to do?
Belichick
You win the coin toss? I don't want the ball. You kidding me? I don't trust my offense right now to get 10 yards on a first down. I'll give you guys the other ball right there.
Do sandlot football and you get to throw it instead of kick it?
You get to throw it down.
Yeah.
That's the kickoff.
Well,
so how about that? Let's just eliminate punting and eliminate field goals, and there you go. First team to score touchdown.
Can we take it to the next level? Can we take it to the next level?
One more level if you want to. What's that?
Well, if we get rid of kickers, then we can finally have world peace. Because there's now no reason to call the game football. We can now call it Sock'em, which is what I want it to be called.
Sock'em?
And Americans can now refer to soccer as football, like the rest of the world does.
Okay.
And we have global peace.
But we don't...
Phone call. I think the league is upset.
Oh, man.
I think the commish is on the line.
We're
Roger Goodell is beckoning.
No, I'm not going to take it.
You're not going to take his call? Who's the commissioner?
Yeah, sorry. You know what? The commissioner has angered Steven. Okay?
He's happy with this. So back to my point. Let's go all the way. We eliminate all kickers. So there's no reason to call the game football because you're not using your feet.
Enough with not calling it football. You're missing the point here.
I'm just expanding.
If you're going to make it fair, if you want to make it fair, if you want to make everybody happy.
I want the world happy.
Eliminate punters and kickers in overtime. They're fine during, you know, regulation. No. But if it gets to overtime, you can't kick a field goal to win. Period.
I say we...
Period.
Permanent.
You've got to...
Steven, the commish is really furious. You don't get it, do you? You don't just not take calls from the commissioner.
Ooh.
See, because I... This is what we do to kickers.
Yes. What do we do to them?
Boom. The game's simpler.
That's my thing. Eliminate kickers and punters in overtime. Now, that's what I'm talking about. Because now there's strategy involved, baby. What you going to do when you win the coin toss?
Well, that is the spirit of the rule.
What you going to do? This is real sudden death now. Are you going to... You telling me that if you can't punt the ball away, people are going to want the ball first?
What do you do
when you win the coin toss?
You just turn it over on downs?
Yeah.
So, wow. That's a whole different game,
Steven. It's a whole different game, baby. Come on, get it in the end zone. You're complaining because
they're changing the rules, and now you're changing the entire game.
I'm not changing the game.
Yes, you are.
I'm changing overtime.
If fourth down means I have to go for it.
That's right.
That's changing the entire nature of the NFL.
Why?
And college football and kid football. I mean, high school football.
Get it in the end zone, baby. That is your goal.
Punch it in and
win. If it's all about touchdowns, get it in the end zone. And you know what? Now nobody can stop. Everybody can stop crying about, is it fair? Is it fair? Your team had the ball. They didn't get in the end zone.
You shot
a kicker. Other team had the ball.
You shot a kicker. You killed a man.
I would never kill a man. I might severely wound somebody.
One of my favorite lines from Caddyshack, of which there are plenty. He misunderstands the head groundskeeper is a Scottish man who has a very thick, brook Scottish accent. And he says, that was French, by the way. But anyways, and he says,
that was not Scottish.
He says, the golfers, we've got to get fixed, the golfers. And he says, well, the golfers, you know what you do with the golfers. Bill Murray says this. He says, you take a knife and you cut him back here, and he points behind his knee, and they'll hook it off to the right, and they'll give up the game. Mm-hmm. Not golfers! Gophers! Oh, Gophers, that's completely different.
Oh, Caddyshack, man.
Oh.
Jeffrey, taking us back to the 70s.
80s. 79, 80, yeah. 80, 81. I'm all right. Nobody worry about me.
You know what I was
Are you done
about,
with this?
Yeah, I am. I'm sorry. All I want is now, it is a possibility, and I should address this, that the commissioner did say yesterday that there will be another vote to implement these rules in the regular season as well. That's all I want.
And this, trust me, it's coming.
I want the same rules for regular season and the postseason.
It will be the same, Steven.
But you know what? I'm gonna be talking to that competition committee about eliminating punters and kickers from overtime.
Well, you know what, Steven?
What?
If you keep dissing the commish by not taking his calls,
yeah.
You're not getting in front of the competition committee.
You're probably right.
I'm just saying.
You're probably right. Okay, what other news do we got? I mean, overtime, what are the changes? There's some other changes, right? You got those?
One or two. I don't have the official, because I don't have the login. But here's some other rules. I don't have the login. It's unfortunate. Okay, so here's your rule.
Like,
updates.
I keep logins secret from you,
you boob. You don't, but it doesn't mean that I'm good.
Okay. Can we talk about? Okay, well, no, I want to talk about McNabb, but what? Not right now.
No, yeah, we're gonna get there. We're gonna get to the Donovan issue.
Yes.
NFL owners ponder more overtime changes. I was there. I actually had a link open. By the way, Steven's looking it up. The case against Warren Sapp was dropped.
Yeah, you know what? I actually tweeted to Warren.
I saw what you tweeted, which was cool.
You know, I was like, you know, I'm sorry you don't get your Super Bowl week whacked. That's back. That's basically what I was trying to say.
The fact that you don't get your Super Bowl week back is whacked. That's what you meant to say.
Yes, that's exactly it. And you know what? And it just shows you in this country, you can accuse somebody and kind of turn their life topsy-turvy, upside down for a little while until it's shown that, you know what, we got nothing on you and we're really sorry. But you know what? The media hasn't come out and said sorry to Warren Sapp. No one has come out and said, Warren didn't do anything. Files were never even charged. Way to go, Warren.
Yeah.
No. It was all just Super Week. Oh, Warren Sapp, NFL Network guy. He's bad. He's bad. He's trouble. And now where are they now? Nowhere. Freaking media.
Okay.
Don't get me started on them. You want this to be a rant show?
A rant show. From the Sporting News Network up in Canada. Yes. That's where I've had to go. This is the Canadian media. The NFL players should be safer during games thanks to several rule changes passed around the league meetings Wednesday. They also might be playing longer in the regular season overtime. We covered that. NFL passed rules to further protect defenseless players, including ball carriers, who lose their helmets during play. 7 of 8 overall rules proposals were adopted. The several owners also said they expect modified overtime rules for the playoffs, which we caught to the past the previous day, to be revisited in May to include the regular season. It's a better system. Commissioner Goodell, whose call Steve Miranda won't take, had some input, and he says, we had a proposal for the postseason. We passed that with the understanding it'll be discussed at a later date. The 2010 schedule will be released in April. That's good news. But here, I got to start with the first one, okay?
Yeah.
And this also goes into the rules that you were looking for the overtime.
I've got all.
I know, but here's the deal. Let's start with the first one, which is helmet comes off, play stops. Okay? Can you read the verbiage of that rule? Do you have it? If you don't, that's fine. I'll just talk about it.
Well, let's see. It is
Let me talk about it.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so basically a player's helmet, and we've seen this happen with increasing frequency in the National Football League, where players'
helmets...
When
a ball carrier loses his helmet...
You can say, hey, Jeff, I found it.
I'm sorry, hey, Jeff, I found it.
My kids interrupt all the time.
Okay, thank you. Please don't ever compare me to your kids ever again. I'll throw something at you. When a ball carrier loses his helmet, the whistle will blow and the ball will be placed at the spot where the player lost it. Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. This is my rant, Steven. Have a problem with that. I have a problem with this.
Jason went and ran like 50 yards after losing his helmet.
Specifically, funny you should mention that, because I wrote, cool play of Jason Witten taking it to the house would be blown dead and would never happen. I would like to see instead some way of fining players who do not attach their helmets well. Okay. I believe play should stop,
but you need
to actually hurt the player. If the player does not properly attach their helmet so that it stays on their head, because a lot of these helmets...
Two vicious hits.
So this is not on Witten. This is not on Witten.
And this helmet popped off.
How many times, though, have we seen helmets just come off with virtually no contact?
That's my point.
You increase the fines on that, you will have far less incidences of plays.
I can't believe that scenario.
I can't either, because I've got a scenario. Oh, my gosh, breakaway, touchdown. Oh, my helmet just came off. I'm a defensive lineman. You unstrap your chin strap, flop your helmet off, play's blown dead.
Yeah.
Does it address that? I don't think it does. They're just trusting the integrity of players to not try something like that. But it's a player's job to win the game. And if somebody is on a breakaway run for a touchdown, and all I have to do is flop off my helmet to blow the play dead, and then wherever he was at the 5, but he didn't get into the end zone.
I think they're talking about if it comes off.
They are, but they didn't say that. They didn't say that. And who's to say how it came off, Steven?
Oh, okay. And it's only the ball carrier. It's not other players.
Oh.
If the ball carrier.
Well, he would never take off his own helmet on purpose. Yeah.
But in that instance, it was Jason Witten. He caught the ball.
He got popped.
By two Eagles.
Both sides. He got sandwiched.
He bounced off the hit, yeah. But his helmet came off, and he ran another 50 yards.
Yeah, it was exciting. He went
so
crazy.
It
would be blown dead. Yeah. And Steven, it's sad, but again,
safety.
In this world of concussion fear.
Safety first. I understand.
And that's,
I understand.
Yeah, we got to keep players
alive. Let me give
you
another one. A defenseless player cannot be hit.
Defenseless.
That's right. Player cannot be hit in the head or neck by an opponent who launches himself and uses his helmet,
shoulder or forearm
to make contact.
All over that.
Previously, this only applied to receivers. Now it applies to everybody.
And I think that's a great rule change. Now the days, which means, you know, the days of the great clothesline kind of thing,
yeah,
that's going to be out.
I like the clothesline.
It's exciting. It's fun. It's exciting. It's so dramatic. But, Steven, again, safety has to become a high priority.
The umpire from now on will be stationed behind the offensive backfield rather than in the linebacker's area.
Yeah, I like that.
Now you won't have that official who
he's basically a tackling dummy.
Yeah, well, receivers use him as a shield.
They do. They
to pick their defenders.
And they just like no one. Boom! I roll around the official, and now I'm open.
Yeah.
And the guy that was on me now runs into the official.
Exactly.
You use him to set a pick. And to me, they're like tackling dummies out there. They're just for practice, and you work around
them. So he has moved. All right. During a field goal or extra point, Jeffrey, no player can line up directly across from the snapper.
We are doing the same thing as we did last year, which you can't line up directly with the center.
That's right.
Trying
previously,
to avoid head-to-head collisions.
Player needed to have a helmet outside of the snapper's shoulder pads, but now you can't even get in front of him.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, I'm not sure. I think that now the threat of a fake field goal right up the middle might become a little more prevalent.
See, the competition committee.
Tricky
is the whole point of every rule change. Because when it starts to affect game strategy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm like,
then it's changing the game.
There's nobody right in front of him.
There's safety concerns, and then there are.
I have my two guys right next to the snapper. They block out.
Yeah.
The snapper goes right at the linebacker who's in front of him 5 yards.
He should be able to get
7 yards. And, yeah.
He should be able to get 7 yards.
Should.
And yeah, that's kind of interesting to see.
Especially if you have like a tight end or a quarterback being the holder. He just gets right up and follows that center.
Right.
Interesting. All right. Dead ball personal foul on the final play of the second or fourth quarters will cause a 15-yard penalty on the second half or overtime kickoff. Previously, no penalty was enforced.
Hmm.
And we call that the Flozell Adams.
Yep.
Penalty.
Exactly.
If a punter returner makes a fair catch signal and muffs the ball, he is entitled to a reasonable opportunity to catch the muff before it hits the ground without interference from the coverage team.
A reasonable opportunity.
Yes. In case of a penalty, the ball will be placed at the spot of the interference, but no yardage will be marked off. And I'll tell you why this came into play.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, the Baltimore Ravens, and I think it was in the playoffs against the New England Patriots, actually, they punted the ball. New England Patriot player muffed the ball. It bounced off his chest. And actually, it was the Tennessee Titans. I'm sorry.
The Patriots didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, they did. The Patriots played the Ravens.
I thought you said last season.
Well,
oh, I'm sorry.
This past season,
the
which
most
just
recent
ended.
Season that yes. just ended. Sorry, I'm going back to the year before. I'm like, they missed the playoffs. They won 12 games and missed the playoffs.
Just this past.
Just season. This season.
Actually, it was the Tennessee Titans because I remember Jeff Fisher being a little upset about it.
And he was chair of the rules committee.
He was. And so the player, the team that they were playing against, he muffed the ball. The punt receiver muffed the ball, and it fell right into the hands of the Tennessee Titans defender.
He's
waiting right there, and he got it.
He wasn't waiting. He was just there.
There was a flag and a 15-yard penalty because the dude had called fair catch. Yeah. They didn't get him. The ball never hit the ground. So it was you didn't give him a chance to get the ball. I'm like,
give
it bounced
the
off
chance,
his chest
and it landed in my arms. How is that my fault? What did I do wrong?
You know what? That's a 15-yard penalty. So basically what they're saying now, it's still a penalty, But
we're too stupid.
No yardage is going to be marked off. So Jeff Fisher was livid.
Yeah.
Livid at that. All right. This is basically called the Dallas Cowboys Stadium Rule. When a ball strikes a video board, guide wire, or sky cam, the play is whistled dead and replayed. The game clock is reset to when the play started.
There you go.
And that is now an official rule. Last year was just implemented for last year, but now it is official.
I got a question.
There is one more Cowboy Stadium Lucas Oil rule.
I got a fan question. Hold on. On the last thing.
All right.
How is it that they never hit these sky cams that are on the zip line wires that go all over the place? I mean, I know they're small.
Literally, once again.
This, like, never happens.
The ball only hit the Cowboys scoreboard once.
Yeah, I know.
And it was a preseason game. I know. And that was because the dude was aiming for it.
Yeah, I know.
If you're aiming for it, you're going to hit it.
I'm taking the conversation of the Cowboys stadium out of the question, and I'm just asking about this
if
little...
If you're aiming for it, I believe that
well,
if
just
a punter
why,
was aiming for
I'm
that...
I'm wondering why quarterbacks never hit it with a pass.
They're up pretty high, dude.
The zipline cameras aren't. Those... We've been at the stadiums.
Once
they
the play,
hover, kind of.
They do, but from
if you're
our
a
position,
bomb
from
or
our from our vantage point,
yeah,
it seems like it's pretty low.
As
if you're
fan,
on the field,
low.
It is up,
okay.
pretty high.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it is up pretty.
I just
high.
Always wondered that
our vantage point is skewed for that. The other Dallas Cowboy, and it's also not Cowboy Stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium, because the glass windows, the huge glass windows in the stadiums.
They let in some obnoxious lighting sometimes.
Yes. And so there's a
you
rule
get those
that's 5 put in place.
Kickoffs, the sun starts to go down.
What's put in place is similar to 90 minutes before the game, you have to decide whether the roof is open and the doors are open.
Right.
90 minutes before the game, the Cowboys and the Colts can, if they wish, put curtains up. But once the curtains are up, they have to remain for the entire game. You can't
Makes
just
sense.
Take them down. So
that, do you think that teams would do that?
No. Why?
Well, that's why I'm asking, Steven. I'm asking the question because you just talked about a rule change.
Because it's a rule
change.
I'm
like, would they do it?
Because the Atlanta Falcons were upset last year when they played in Dallas during a day game.
It sounds in my eyes.
That's exactly what,
that
is exactly their problem.
And if you were not in a dome stadium, the sun would be in your eyes.
I think it's the way kind of it comes through the glass.
It's not, Steve. I'm going to get emails. And again, I love emails, so don't get me wrong.
Yes.
But...
How many emails did you get after the last show, by the way?
Not very many.
Yeah. Come on, people.
I'm not.
Jeff wants emails now, man.
I feel lonely.
He loves emails.
I'm realizing nobody really likes me.
You know what? I haven't gotten an email, and I can't even. I think the last email I got was
from
Nacho.
Have you checked to make sure that the shows are getting downloaded? Maybe no one's listening anymore.
We're doing the show for no reason.
I'm just wondering. Because, you know, we got a lot to do, and we should probably stop if no one's listening.
That is probably.
Maybe it's broke.
Well, there you go. Possibly. Oh, by
there's
the way.
There's some show news we were supposed to talk about.
There is a very nice write-up about NFL rants and raves on unlamag.com.
Did that come out?
Yes, it did.
That was a nice piece. I never read it, but it looks like.
You spelled Y-O-O.
I'm going there right now.
N-L-A.
I-N-L-A?
No. N. And just
the letter
N. The letter N.
N-L-A.
L-A. Mag.
M-A-G.
.com. Go to the sports. Go to editorial sports, and you will find a nice write-up here on, and some good images of Jeff and I actually engaged in doing the show behind our microphones and stuff. It was pretty
okay,
cool.
Okay, so you got to just... Is it the letter U, then
no.
N?
Y-O-O.
I did that. Oh, Y-O-O. See, I don't listen nearly as closely as I should, and this makes Steven angry.
NLAMag.com.
UNLAMag.com.
I'll put a link up on our
Problem
website
loading
and
page.
And
Y-O-O-N-L-A-M-A-G, not C. Jeez, you got to be able to type, people. It's really important.
One more time, for all of those who are not like Jeffrey.
And there's a pretty girl.
Y-O-O-N-L-A-Mag.com.
So where do I go from
editorial,
there?
Editorial, up at the top.
Editorial.
Sports.
Sports. Click.
And
there's still a pretty girl. Maybe I didn't click right, or maybe it's loading. Transferring data from UNLA Mag.
Yeah, there you go. I'm already there, so
you are.
Slow.
I am. Oh, Football Dish with Steve Moran and Jeff. There's still a pretty girl. So the main page stays, and it's down below. Football dish was. Oh, they got the helmets. That's nice. We didn't. We hadn't put them all away. Apparently. Really? Oh, there's a picture of Steven and me. Hey, check that out.
Do you listen to me at all?
I'm emoting based on now looking at the material.
All right, should we get to other stuff now that we've
No, because there's it? A cool thing okay, on us on the
more,
web.
There's one more NFL rule change.
Article by Jason Goodlett.
Yes.
And very cool.
All right, so the final rule change for the 2010 season.
I love the way it starts. England gave us Beatles and Elton John. I if we follow those names, I'm good. I can die now.
I know. I can I die now. It was a pretty good article. If the clock is stopped in the final minute of either the half for a replay review, but would not have stopped without the review, officials will run off 10 seconds before resuming play. Either team can take a timeout to avoid the runoff. Does that make sense to everybody?
I'm reading our article. I heard something about 10 seconds running off.
Okay, so basically, let's say it's the final minute of a game. All right, there's 50 seconds left in the game, and you're frantically marching down the field.
March.
You throw a ball, near the sideline, and it's caught, but they buzz down and say, we got to review that to see if he was inbounds.
Right.
Well, typically, if he got brought out inbounds,
right,
the clock would just continue to run.
Correct.
Well, but they stopped it to make sure that he got it.
Which I'm always excited about if I'm on offense and I'm running the hurry up.
Yeah, but now they're going to burn 10 seconds off the clock before they let you start again.
Is that more or less how long it would take to reset?
Yeah, because they're saying...
Is that more or less accurate?
Jeffrey, the team would have to run down the field and get set. Jeffrey.
Is that my new nickname?
It was Jeffrey. The team would have to run down the field and get set and hike the ball. So
right.
It's about
no, I understand.
10 seconds.
I'm saying is that about?
It's about 10 seconds.
Okay.
It's a 2-yard completion, then that's
that'd
not
be
good.
Upsetting because you could reset and spike the ball pretty quickly.
Yes.
Because guys are around. So that's tough. That's tough.
It is. It is a tough call.
To me, if the booth buzzes,
basically save your timeouts for the end of the game.
Yeah. Don't waste them on
or
challenges.
The end of the half. Yeah.
Make sure
we'll waste one on a challenge, but don't waste like, you know, all six of them.
Six of them?
Okay, you can only waste two.
All right.
Possibly to waste three, though.
Yeah, you do get given another one if you get them right.
Yes.
There you go.
But then you don't lose timeouts if you get them right. So possible to not lose any.
Got that going for you.
So you know what? The moral of that was challenge only if you're going to get them right.
Yeah, that's likely.
All right, let's move on to plenty of NFL media news. What, Jeffrey?
Well, I'm just trying to juggle here if we do, because we got to be bugging out soon. Story on Mike Vick and then the
McNabb.
More on the McNabb or more on the uncapped year that I've uncovered as I was writing an article for Sky.
I say we got to talk about McNabb and Roethlisberger, quarterbacks.
Get to it.
Quarterbacks
in the NFL.
All right, so basically Andy Reid confirmed yesterday, early in the day, that they are in fact listening to offers for their quarterbacks. He didn't say Donovan McNabb. He didn't say Michael Vick.
Kevin Cobb.
He didn't say corner on the cop. He didn't say any of that. He just said we're entertaining offers from other ball clubs regarding our quarterbacks.
Correct. Because, as Andy Reid pointed out, any one of them could be a starter in the NFL.
Yes.
We're just lucky that we have three, and we understand that there's a league that has a shortage of NFL quarterbacks.
So what Donovan McNabb took that to understand is the Eagles are trying to trade me, so he came out and said, you know what, if you're going to do it quickly.
Well, let me defend Donovan McNabb here. Shall I?
You're going to defend Donovan McNabb?
Have I ever said anything disparaging about him?
You make fun of him regarding the overtime rule.
Oh, come on. I'll make fun of Peyton Manning all the time when I talk about being amphibious instead of ambidextrous. I mean, those are just when we make a gaffe, and it's worth making fun of, and I make fun of myself. It doesn't mean I don't like myself, although I don't.
McNabb, look, here's my response. My position hasn't changed. I said all along that I would like to win a Super Bowl and finish my career in Philadelphia. I understand the situation well, and I just hope whichever direction the Eagles decide to go in, they do it quickly. I think it would be best for me, Kevin, Michael, and the Eagles, and any other team involved.
Now, let me defend Donovan.
Go ahead.
I believe he is arguably the best Eagles quarterback ever.
Ron Jaworski?
Yeah, even better than Jaws.
Randall Cunningham?
Yeah. Why? Because he wins. He takes him to the playoffs virtually every stinking year. Something very hard to do for a decade. And he protects the ball. He's never turned it over like more than 13 times in a season ever. And it seems that this Philadelphia team that drafted him in, what, 97, 98, something like that, that they have wanted him gone since the day they drafted him.
Well, they booed him when he did get drafted.
This is my point. I don't understand why he has had to put up with, because he is in my very short list of franchise quarterbacks, which we have still got to do our franchise quarterback show, Steven.
Okay.
Maybe right after the draft. I don't know. But I want to beat this dead horse till it's really, really dead. Really dead. One of the few franchise quarterbacks. I wouldn't give them more than 8 in the league. He is one of them. He's taking you to, what, 3 NFC title games? And it's like, why do you disrespect somebody of this quality and dislike him so much?
No one disrespected him.
Disrespected him?
That's right. No one disrespected him.
Well, like, why was he disrespected? It's a made-up word, Steven.
Okay.
So maybe they did.
Okay. You're right.
It's Bob Anderson marriage all over again. Maybe they did. It's disrespected.
Bob Anderson. Bob Anderson. I'm gonna beat
you
him up.
You gonna go?
We are gonna throw down, dude. We are gonna go outside and throw down.
So
that's Mike Harebug, man.
I love that girl.
You know what? You think that you're gonna have a hard time when she starts dating? I might beat up her boyfriends just so they don't come back.
I'm cool with that. I love it because you don't look like you're related. So, you know, he's like, some big black man just kicked the crap out of me. I don't know what this is all about.
I don't know what
I think she's protected by the mafia.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, so here's what's interesting. Yeah. So the Philadelphia Inquirer this morning ran a piece that said that the Eagles are deep in talks with the St. Louis Rams. The Rams would get Donovan McNabb. And what they would give up is their second round draft pick. Now, it's not just any second round draft pick. It is pick 33.
Right.
Which under the new system of the NFL draft, that leads off day 2.
Yes.
So everyone's had all night to look at what happened day 1 and go and wheel and deal and things like that and shucking and jiving. And the Rams lead off.
Day two.
Yes. So they would get the first pick day 2, have a whole night to make all sorts of deals, and they get OJ Atagwe.
I'm gonna throw some wrinkles in that.
Okay, let me finish here. And so here's what makes this even more interesting. Offensive coordinator Pat Sherman has worked with McNabb for like a decade, so he has an outstanding relationship with him. Now, the Rams GM, Billy Devaney, he was very quick to deny this rumor and say it's absolutely in no way true to the St. Louis Dispatch, which means I think it might be true.
And Spagnuolo today joined the chorus of denying the rumors that the Eagles and McNabb are close to a deal.
I think just for Agu?
Yeah. It would be nice.
I pray for it because the Rams. My question is, who the hell does he throw the ball to?
Do you know who I believe is really interested in McNabb and people aren't talking about it?
Denver?
Chicago? Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, yeah. Matt
they
Leinart.
Are a playoff team.
Oh, they're a great team without a quarterback. Let's be honest.
I'm just saying.
The Rams are not a playoff team without a quarterback.
That's right.
They're just a bad team.
And McNabb would want to be with a playoff team.
He's made it very clear. Wow, McNabb in Arizona.
Yeah, think of
with
that.
With weapons.
Think of
My
that.
My gosh.
Think of that.
Stevie Breston and Anquan.
Larry Fitzgerald.
Anquan Bolden's gone.
He's no longer there.
He's
yes.
gone. But, man.
But still. Fitzgerald.
Oh, Hightower. Oh, my gosh. This is a good team. This is a great
team. And Donovan McNabb in the backfield.
McNabb just wins. That's all
there
is to it.
There is one other team that, in my understanding, my sources being Jason LaConforia from NFL Network. He says the Oakland Raiders are very interested in Donovan McNabb.
The only problem there, who does he throw the ball to?
Death. They got the fast guy.
Yeah, Darius Hayward Bay.
Yeah!
DHB.
No, you know what? I don't even call him his name or initials or anything. I just say, they got the fast guy. Yeah.
The fast guy.
The fast guy with no hands. Because he can't catch.
But boy.
All right. So anyways, McNabb, chill out. Nobody's saying you're going anywhere. They're entertaining.
Michael Crabtree is the best receiver in the draft. If he's on the board at number 7, we take him. Easiest pick you'll ever make. Really? Tell me something. What's his 40? Well, he didn't run at the combine or pro day. He has a stress fracture. Let me tell you something, son. He didn't run because he's scared.
He's scared.
And he's slow. And he'll never wear the silver and black. Get him off our board. And then he hits a button on his chair and sends the lackey down a trapdoor into a shark tank. Who else is there? Well, there's Jeremy Maclin, sir. Tell me about the guy. Great kid. Came back from a terrible knee injury, courageous over the middle, blocks down the field, the ultimate playmaker. We love him, Mr. Davis. What's his 40 time? He ran a 4.45, sir. Let me tell you something, Junior. I could run a 4.45 backwards, and I'm like 95. Who else is there? Well, Darius Hayward Bay, but I wouldn't recommend it, Mr. Davis. He never had a 1,000-yard campaign in the ACC. He has hands of stone. He disappears in big games. He's incredibly raw. He can't help us now. He's a project. Everybody else has him going in the 20s. Yeah, what's his 40 time? A 4.3, sir. That's your guy. You take him. But, sir, take him or you're fired.
With the 7th pick in the 2009 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Darius Hayward Bay, wide receiver, Maryland.
That was too much fun. Sorry, I had to relive that.
Okay, and there's one other team that might possibly be interested, and that's the Buffalo Bills.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because they don't know.
They don't know what they got.
Trent Edwards.
No.
Ryan Fitzpatrick experiment.
No.
Yeah, so.
And no, we're going to change this to Ryan Fitzpatrick is experiment.
Rhino.
Rhino experiment.
No, experiment Rhino.
Experiment Rhino. Oh my gosh!
If you, for those you overseas, only get that in Southern California.
For those overseas,
I suspect
that they franchise.
No, no.
Make people Google it. I don't want people Googling it. It is a gentleman's club, okay? That is in Southern California.
People Googling Spearmint Rhino.
No, I don't. Because, look.
They wouldn't even know how to spell it.
I don't care. I don't want people entertaining things like that.
Oh,
let me tell you, anybody who frequents strip clubs, let me tell you, just let me buzzkill for you, okay?
Don't buzzkill for the people.
Yeah.
Just let them do it.
Let them go to strip clubs.
Yeah, if that's what they want. We're not here to preach.
I'm just simply
let
here.
Let them go.
It's edutainment. It's education and entertainment. And if you find it entertaining, let me educate. I have had some of them on the other end of things where they're off duty and they are in my office dealing with psychiatric issues. And many of them are drunk and doing drugs to be out there performing and maintain a very lucrative lifestyle. Let me buzzkill you with that. Okay, enjoy yourself at the club.
All right. Once again, that's Jeffrey's
thought. That's me.
Thought.
I can't enjoy myself at one of those institutions
and
because I
know.
And
we're not asking you to, and I'm not asking
you're
you
just
to.
Telling people that where they are and that they look it up on the web.
No,
which you didn't say that, but
was,
when you don't provide information,
joke,
when you then people.
I just wanted to leave it at that.
A lot of people are like me.
Needed to go and.
See, Steven, there's
some
listeners are like me. And if there's a void, they go out to the internet. I got to know. They made a comment about it. I got to know. And then they Google, bang, wow. Because you can know anything in a second. I love that about the internet. I don't think it's a fad. I think it's actually going to stick around.
The internet?
Seriously. I'm serious. It's going to stick around.
I just want to know how kids did it without the internet.
Oh, gosh.
How
did we get through college?
How did high school
we get
or college?
Through, my gosh. Steven,
I don't know.
Hours in the library with card catalogs. You kids know what card catalog files are?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
You couldn't use one if your life depended
libraries
on you.
Libraries don't even have card catalogs anymore, dude.
I guess they wouldn't. They
it's
would
a
just
computer
have a terminal.
System. Yes, it's a terminal. You walk up.
You kids have no idea.
I hate card
catalogs. We walked uphill to school both ways in the snow in Southern
barefoot.
California with nails going into our feet. God, kids these days, the clothes, the hair, the music. Get off my grass, you dad kids!
Wow, I like how this starts. Let's let me read you the first line before we leave you.
UNLAMag.com. I told you, it's worth
Eagles
reading.
Eagles gave us the Beatles and Elton John, and
the
after
Eagles?
A decade... England. Did I say Eagles?
Yeah, you did.
I'm thinking Donovan McNabb.
Don McNabb.
Poor guy. Nobody likes that guy.
I want to have a beer with him.
Nobody. Okay, let me take that back. Nobody in Philly likes
that
guy.
What about Jessica? Listener Jessica, who served him at Cheesecake Factory.
Right. She,
and she went crazy.
In San Francisco.
She went nuts. Oakland, other side of the bay.
Oakland? Was she in Oakland? No, she's
no,
in Francisco.
But she was on the other side of the bay.
She was in Oakland. Okay.
Yeah.
McNabb was there to play Oakland. That's right.
Yeah.
The Eagles.
And she was at Cheesecake Factory working and just... She knew exactly who it was, and she was grateful.
She was.
She appreciated him.
Okay, England. England gave us the Beatles and Elton John, and after decades of idle gratitude and unreturned favor, we may actually have something to give back.
Oh, nice! That is hilarious.
Stephen Miranda and Jeff Ellis. These American ambassadors are making
a
splash across the pond by bringing our foreign friends the gift of American football.
Damn straight.
I'm not talking about the kind of football that's played on a pitch. And in short shorts reminiscent of Magic Johnson's Showtime's Lakers of the 1980s. I'm talking about the smash-mouth gridiron game that was captivated the hearts and minds of Americans for almost 100 years.
Okay, that's a good article. Don't read anymore because we want people to go read it.
That's right. Go read it. Go read it. That's the first couple of
And that's
few
Y-O-O, the letter U...
N- Oh no! Y O O,
the letter N,
L A mag dot com.
There you go.
UNLA.com mag.com.
U.
It's Y O O. And the young lady who has started up this kind of online magazine that's going to promote things in the city of Los Angeles and happenings and events and parties and special things like NFL rants and raves that happened in Los Angeles.
Things that people might not know about.
That's right. She's getting it out there. So I'll put a link out for everybody. And Janae was really nice to have a nice little article there by Jason Gullett.
Outstanding.
Ben Roethlisberger time before I let you go, or what's the deal?
But that means I suspected that we were going to basically not have time for my thing that I've put
together.
It's 10:37.
What did you put together?
The thing on the uncapped season Further implications.
Do you want to talk about the eight teams?
The
eight teams of death?
I'm reaching a conclusion.
What's it called? 10 Faces of Death? Or what was that? What was that movie called?
The Seven Faces of Eve?
No.
That was about the monkey brain. Oh, Steven, we see different
faces
movies.
Of death.
We see different
faces
movies.
Of evil. I don't know.
Heart of Darkness.
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
I love Heart of Darkness. Oh,
have you seen the new Robin Hood trailer with Russell Crowe?
Oh my gosh!
What?
No, I'm psyched.
Really?
Oh my gosh!
Russell Crowe is Robin Hood.
Ridley Scott directing.
Really?
Ridley Scott. Blade Runner. Come on. I mean, just come on. Ridley Scott, Aliens.
I don't know.
On.
I don't know.
One of our best directors and one of our best actors.
I'll give it a shot.
Doing a story that's been done too many times, but by the right people.
Right people.
Okay.
All right.
Now, if you want to do the Roethlisberger thing, then we're not going to have time for this thing, and that's okay.
Well, how about we do that thing on the uncapped season next week or the week after? Or next week.
Because I worked hard on it.
Well, let's do it now.
All right.
Roethlisberger.
All right.
Basically, Roethlisberger doesn't have to give over DNA evidence, but that still doesn't...
Because there isn't anything to compare against.
Yes.
Do the math from there, people, okay? But however, it is. I think it's really important that the commissioner... This is probably what the commissioner was calling you about.
What?
He wanted to give you an update on the Roethlisberger situation,
I should have taken the call.
He's going to be meeting with Ben to talk about his off-field lifestyle, and so the commissioner will be talking to him and basically seeing, like they did with Tom Cable, speaking of piloting.
Yeah, I can address it. It's an internal issue.
So Tom Cable was sent to some counseling and things like that, and they're wondering if Ben needs to slow down and think about how he approaches things. So there you go. Now, I want to address specifically the uncapped season that we're finding ourselves in, the year of 2010. And by the way, I make very big apologies. Up until this point, I've been saying 2010, and I am very against 2010. It is 2010. 2010, it is always, and it should always be. I'm not going to get on a tangent on that, but I'm trying really hard to dial
but
it in correctly.
It's 2010.
But that's just too long to say.
It's 2010! Get over everywhere, people.
2010. So in 2085, you're going to still be saying 2085. Mm-hmm. You're not going to just say in 85.
No.
See, 2085.
First of all, I hope I'm not around in 2085.
You'll look like hell.
I will. I mean, I really look bad back in 2085.
You don't know. You don't know the technology that's coming. No, we've got to get. So let's get all
the
getting good.
The 2010.
Something has slipped by the casual fan, if you ask me. Steven spoke on the last show about restricted free agents and the impact on them.
Free agent tenders and stuff.
Right. We talked, and that was a huge, important piece of the puzzle.
Yes.
But the players' union, from my perspective, didn't read the fine print of the uncapped year back a long time ago when they signed the CBA, collective bargaining agreement, because it sounded like the sweetest of seasons for players' salaries. No salary cap to worry about means the teams can spend any amount of money they want, and the players are like, yeah, cha-ching. But this could not be further from the truth.
Cha-ching.
The collective bargaining agreement was allowed to expire March 5th, and the NFL has no longer – labor peace is no longer something that is likely. It seems that we're headed to a very bad conclusion here. We hope that there's no cutoff and no strike year next year. But Steven went through the regular things on the tenders and on the shortened and the extensions of restricted versus unrestricted free agency. But this is what I stumbled across that freaked me out. Okay, here's the deal. Since 1970, we know that players aren't playing very long. There's a lot of players that play as long as, say, 7 years, 8 years, 9 years, 10 years. We were talking about Donovan McNabb has been around like 11 years. But most players, the average player only plays in the league for 3 years. Yes, Steven?
Brett Favre's played for 20.
Actually, 75, because I saw that commercial. There's a commercial on TV. That's he was really old. But the average player plays for 3.5 years. It was 5 years in 1970. It has declined significantly.
Once again, we should say these are a lot of the young players that, you know, they're taken in the sixth round. They play for a couple years. And they
wash out. It doesn't work out for them.
Yes.
But let's now just stick with me on here.
I'm
so
sticking.
The average person plays for 3.5 years.
I'm glued.
The average player collects less than $1 million a year in salary.
Okay.
So let's take the average player, plays for 3.5 years, makes $1 million a year. We're going to round up. That means at the end of his 3.5 years, he has just over $3 million. For those 3.5 years, he is also in the highest tax bracket available, which is 35% in the United States, which means he's paying more than a third of his salary back to the federal government.
Yes.
Which means he has, at best, $2 million left after sacrificing his body for the team.
It's Robin Hood. Take from the rich, give to the poor.
So, why are you sidetracking?
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to sidetrack you.
And $2 million sounds extravagant. I encourage anybody who thinks $2 million is extravagant, think about how much you actually need to live comfortably for the rest of your life. And given that you have probably spent a significant amount of bling early on buying mom houses, paying people back who paid for all of your equipment and all of your time of extra coaching and practicing, just so you could get to the NFL. Free agency is where they hope to get rich, but there's only a few drafted players that are compensated richly. The overwhelming majority of players are not and have to get by on a lot less. They need the contract extension to become comfortable. That has been taken away from them. That is frustrating to me that they're lucky enough to achieve their dream to play in the NFL, and now they end up with $2 million maybe. And so here's the deal. Now they're in this unrestricted free agency class where they will probably not make it through to their next contract, which is where you cash in big. So, tag, you're it. Steve went through all the tags. But now here's the thing. So let's take a few veteran players. They aren't in the unrestricted free agency world. Right. They are full free agents, eligible to sign with anybody they like. That's not true. What? That's not true that you are welcome to sign with anybody you want. Well, why is that? Because of a little tiny thing called the final eight rule. I call it the final eight straws that breaks the camel's back. Because let's say that you are somebody who's been around. Let's say you're Donovan McNabb and you're a free agent. He's expecting to make how much money? 14, 15 million a year?
Sure.
Okay. Well, who can afford 14 or 15 million dollars a year? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers? No way. The San Francisco 49ers. They could use a good quarterback and they can't afford it. Okay, so the teams that can afford to spend big bucks, New England Patriots, Dallas Cowboys, Minnesota Vikings,
Redskins,
Indianapolis Colts, Washington Redskins always spend any amount of money. And they would be, they actually, I wonder why we haven't talked about him going there. That's actually, because Jason Campbell, that's a whole other story we didn't get into, that there will be a quarterback competition in D.C. It's turning out.
Yes. Shanahan has said that.
Basically, the way it's turned out is that anybody who played in the divisional weekend last season, none of those teams can sign Donovan McNabb unless one of their players gets taken from them.
Okay.
And then they have to be signing him at an equal level, which basically means of the few people that are actual free agents, they can only go to teams that aren't very good.
What's wrong with that?
Those teams that aren't very good generally don't have very much money, except for the Redskins. They don't have very much money. So where are you going to, and you want to play for a winner because you're a veteran, you're really limited. The players are getting screwed through this uncapped year, which sounds like players get rich, and it's not.
There's been a lot of free agent moves this year. So
there has been some, Steven. I think there would have been a lot more. The Seattle Seahawks go out and grab Anquan Boldin.
The Ravens did that.
Yeah. The Seahawks signed somebody significant. Who did the Seahawks sign? I don't remember. Anyway.
It's a lineman.
There hasn't been nearly as many moves as we would have seen if people were truly free to do whatever they wanted in this uncapped season.
Okay.
I think it's hurting players, and I'm frustrated by it, and that's it. That's my
rant. I'm not sure that's the big gloom and doom you're making it out to be, but okay.
For this season, it is very, very bad for the players, if you ask me. That's it. That's all I got. That's my opinion.
Players wanted it. Sign a contract.
They did, but I don't think they knew what they were getting themselves into.
I'm still don't know what is holding the owners and the players from reaching an agreement.
I can tell you that in the next show.
Tell me now.
I actually have to go to work.
Okay.
I have to go
Jeff's
make
leaving.
Real money.
No.
And I want to thank the few new show donors who have pwned up and said, hey,
that is
love,
very nice.
Love you guys for coming
yes,
back.
Thank
I've been meaning
you.
To throw you a bone. Thanks so much. And yeah, you guys are cool. Thanks so much.
All right, lots of other news happening. We obviously can't get to them, but Donovan McNabb, I think, is going to be okay, Jeffrey. He'll
I'm
get
not worried
his.
About him. I just want respect for the guy. He's won. He's been.
Who's re-respected him? All right. This has been Steven Miranda.
Jeff Ellis. Don't re-respect anybody ever. Unless we find out it's a good thing.
Re-respecting is bad.
Well, we don't know for sure.
Or it may be good.
So
until
we
know,
find out, please don't do it. Jeff Ellis.
Steven Miranda, NFL Rats.
Have a good one.
Goodbye. I'm going to re-respect Bob Henderson.
I would.